The Purpose Podcast, a podcast series brought to you by Social Business Trust to celebrate the 10-year anniversary. The podcast will explore social impact, corporate purpose, and social innovation. We'll be bringing together diverse voices and perspectives from in and around Social Business Trust's network to look at the importance of the social sector in an ever-changing world. We'll also show how working in partnership with businesses and volunteers helps social enterprises and charities grow and deliver life-changing impact. Thanks goes to our corporate partners for their ongoing support. Bain, Charles Russell Speechleys, Clifford Chance, EY, Permira, Permira Debt Managers, Refinitiv, Schroders, and Thomson Reuters.
Today, we are joined by experts from Kantar, the world's leading data, insights, and consulting company. We welcome Ben Collins, Commercial Director, Anna Salter, Evaluation Director, and Mary Suffield, the Research Manager.
Part of the purpose of presenting impacts is around demonstrating what you've achieved. It's about showing the value and worth of what you're doing, both to those externally and internally.
You've got to have an eye on all of the different stakeholders around your business to really understand whether you're articulating your message as well across the board, because that's when you can really start improving your reputation for sustainability.
The numbers are obviously hugely important, but it's not just about the numbers. It's equally important to understand the reasons behind the numbers that you're seeing.
So Ben, thanks for joining us today. Let's start at the beginning. Why is identifying your areas of impact so important?
Thanks, Toby. I mean, I guess it's important for a number of reasons. Mapping your areas of impact in detail helps you think through what you're doing and whether that's the right thing. It forces you to challenge your own design thinking. And we find that a hugely valuable process to kind of put yourself through, as it helps improve the design. A better design should equal a better outcome, as well as having other benefits, so which I'll come on to talk through. So it's important to be thorough and detailed to map, you know, the short-term and long-term impacts you expect to achieve, impacts by different types of people, beneficiaries, those taking part, when you expect to see those impacts, and what success looks like, but also, you know, how those impacts will be achieved. So thinking about the mechanisms for change. And in doing so, like I say, you can refine what you're doing and why, and that hopefully helps amplify the effects you achieve, but it also helps you identify how you'll go about measuring them. And you know, having a detailed list of impacts will help you identify, you know, what success looks like for each one, where any data might come from, and the types of data you have available, and also helps you understand how confident you might be in your results. And that can help you then when you report your impact, and how, you know, any reporting, any claims you make are received. So the other thing I'd say is, once you have your impact map, this will then help with how you report on and demonstrate impact, which can bring both external and internal affirmation of what you're doing. So getting external affirmation, being able to demonstrate what you've achieved, you know, we did X and we got Y, to get external audience to see what you've done and demonstrate the value of your activities, of the time people put in, and also of the money they invest and donate, can really be helpful in gaining continued or even expanded support. But demonstrating impact can also help with internal affirmation. It can help those involved see the value of what they are doing, and it can be a strong motivator and affect morale.
Mary, did you want to jump in on this question as well?
Yeah, great. Thank you. I think another really important point to make is that identifying areas of impact can help to provide clarity over what the organization should be focusing on internally as well. So it really gives the organization the time to think about what activities they're doing and why they're doing them. So what difference they'll actually make. So it really gives them the potential to identify where further resource should be allocated, or where an activity is doing less than assumed and potentially should have less resource allocated in that area. And it really reinforces what they're doing and why this will actually make a difference. I think a kind of final and important point is how identifying areas of impact can also actually stimulate improvement of your program or policy. So thinking about what areas you're having impact in and then actually measuring that impact can sometimes show up areas where there's less of an impact than previously assumed. And that can really help organizations to target resource, target funding, and target efforts to reshape and improve activities to be the best they can be.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thanks, Mary. And so I think, you know, what you're saying there is measurement is enabling you to tweak and to make changes, which is a neat segue into the next area I'd like to focus on with you, Ben. I'd like to move on to talk a little bit about the theory of change. Now, for some, that sounds like jargon. So if you could break it down and explain what it means.
Yeah, and I think to be fair, it is a little bit of jargon, but it's a term often used in evaluation, but it can have different meanings and it can overlap with other terms such as logic model, for example, that we also use. And there are lots of ways of constructing a theory of change, lots of ideas and views about what it should and shouldn't include. And it is quite a technical tool and a process. But put simply, it's a tool that helps us identify what should be achieved and how. You know, it helps us break down an intervention or a project, understand it better, and helps us to then measure and improve both its design and effects. So it is quite a technical process and a tool, but it isn't particularly complex. What a theory of change does is define the long-term goals. So that's usually in our world the kind of ultimate social or economic outcomes a policy or program's trying to achieve, but for a business that might be the kind of business outcomes it's trying to achieve. And then it tracks backwards over the ways those goals are going to be reached. So all the activities that are going to be undertaken, you know, who's involved, both the participants, those delivering any actions, as well as those receiving the benefits of those, and any preconditions or assumptions needed for the goals to be reached. And crucially, it doesn't just unpick what will happen, but looks at why, you know, doing X leads to Y, the kind of rationale and the theory or idea that underpins the approach being taken. So, you know, as I say, it is quite a technical tool and we use it a lot in our evaluations of government kind of programs and policies, but it isn't something to be wary of, and it helps to have an external kind of expert viewpoint when you're constructing a theory of change. But it's something that all organizations, projects, interventions can do. And we would certainly encourage everyone to use it in lots of different fields.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, a methodology, a framework to help you get to where you need to get to. Mary, I know that measuring impact is really key for the Social Business Trust. And I know that you've been working closely with us. How did this thinking apply in this case? Could you add a bit of colour for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always useful to give a bit of an example of how these things work in reality. So, we can think about how we did this and work with the Social Business Trust to get them thinking about their impact as well. So to avoid kind of getting bogged down in some of that jargon behind a theory of change, we ran a more simplified workshop with people in different roles across the Social Business Trust to encourage more active discussion and critical thinking between the different people involved. And the real idea behind this workshop was to break down what the Social Business Trust do into really straightforward component parts and then build that back up again to show which activity leads to which outcome, and also critically to highlight any missing areas. So we started the session by thinking about what the central challenge was for the Social Business Trust. So what kind of the overall aim and rationale for what the Social Business Trust were trying to achieve. And from there, we came up with some really kind of specific outcomes that the Social Business Trust wanted to achieve. And those outcomes really needed to be really specific, quantifiable, realistic, and also time-bound. And what we did was broke those down into the different groups that the Social Business Trust had an impact on. A tip here for anyone thinking of running one of these workshops is to just be really honest and realistic about what you can achieve, particularly given kind of timeframes and budgetary constraints as well. So once you've then come up with those outcomes that you want to achieve, you then need to think about the actual activities that you're carrying out. And that's what we did with the Social Business Trust. So we really thought about what was at the heart of what they actually do on a day-to-day basis. What we produced from that workshop was an impact journey. So this was a document that outlined what the activities that Social Business Trust had done and the link that they had to the outcomes achieved. And that's proved a really useful document and a really useful tool for them to think about how they can start to measure impact going forward and kind of demonstrate that in a more open way.
Thanks, Mary. So even when you know your areas of impact, measuring and reporting it is just not easy. If we could just go throughout the panel and get some examples and some advice from you all on that particular area, that would be great. And Ben, if we could lead with you.
Yeah, sure. I think if I had to pick one thing, it would be, you know, how important it is to present impact that's believable, that's accurate, you know, that you're clear about, and in doing so, that stands up to scrutiny. Because part of the purpose of presenting impacts is around demonstrating what you've achieved. It's about showing the value and worth of what you're doing, both to those externally and internally. You need to ask yourself, you know, can you be confident about what you're saying? Put yourselves in the shoes of someone looking at your results for the first time and potentially questioning their validity. You know, how can you ensure that they have confidence and believe what you are saying? And that's about being accurate, but also, I guess, balanced, not overstating what you've achieved, but being clear about the evidence on which any impact is based.
Thanks, Ben. And moving on to you, Mary, what would be your key advice in this area?
I think I'm just going to follow on from Ben's point, that obviously emphasising that the numbers are obviously hugely important, but it's not just about the numbers. It's equally important to understand the reasons behind the numbers that you're seeing, and that can be produced through more qualitative methods, through interviewing and through storytelling. Moving towards storytelling can help to engage the reader to a greater extent, and we often find that qualitative findings can trigger a more emotional response from the reader. So really, my piece of advice would be kind of coupling facts with feelings gives that really good balance.
That's great. And Anna, conscious we've not brought you into the conversation yet, and I know you've got a lot to say around corporate sustainability. We'll be moving on to that in due course. But before we do so, do you have a key piece of advice?
Yeah, I think for me, just to really echo what Ben and Mary have said, that it's really important to pull together that idea of the science and the art. Is not just about numbers. It's quite easy for us researchers to disappear down that rabbit hole of everything being about stats, but there's a lot of storytelling involved in you know, taking your purpose to the people and articulating what you want to say. And I think one of the things which is becoming increasingly important and understood around you know, this subject matter of sustainability, reputation, responsibility, is you've got to have an eye on all of the different stakeholders around your business to really understand whether you're articulating your message as well across the board, because that's when you can really start improving your reputation for sustainability.
So Anna, thanks, that's great. Let's lead into corporate sustainability. This is an area that I'm really, really keen to explore and a big advocate of, working closely with the Social Business Trust. Corporate sustainability has been something that's become more and more important in recent years. What does it mean, and how do organisations make sure their efforts are authentic and meaningful?
First of all, I just want to focus on the word sustainability. For some, it's still that just means pure environment. But actually, in the, you know, the people in the know, that is the very much the wider group of ideas around citizenship and responsibility. So it's not just environment. It's about ethics, it's about supply chain. It's about employees, about doing the right thing as a business, essentially. So it's that whole ESG agenda, the whole wider CSR agenda. And that's really what we mean by sustainability these days. And then to come to your more specific question around why is this important? We've got some, you wouldn't be surprised to hear that we've got some data. So we've been running our Brandzy reputation study for over 10 years now. And as this is a 10-year anniversary, I'm going to tell you some cool stats from that. And this shows that corporate reputation drives 9% of brand power. So brand power means, you know, people's likelihood to consider buying your product. So it's obviously a very powerful part of what you mean as a brand. So it makes it a significant financial consideration for businesses when you're thinking about how people see you. Another thing that is important here is the fact that we know that of that 9% of corporate reputation, by far the biggest element of that is responsibility. That includes things like environment, society, and treatment of employees and suppliers, as I mentioned. And so this sort of group of ideas now contributes 49% of overall corporate reputation. And so leadership, success, and consumer fairness also contribute the other half of that sort of reputation. Now, I mentioned we've been doing this for 10 years. Now, that's 49% of your reputation is driven by responsibility now. That compares with 17% 10 years ago. So, you know, this is an issue that isn't going away. And just another thing, you know, obviously we've had a massively transformative, in a bad way, year. And there have been questions raised around, you know, people's behaviour changing under COVID. You know, they want to shop locally. They want to be more careful about what they do to the environment and, you know, all of those things. But we've actually got some research that we've done using our consumer and media consumption study, TGI, which suggests that one third of UK consumers think that sustainability is now more important post-COVID than they did before. So, you know, we are seeing these stats just go through the roof. And we also know there's a commercial aspect to this. Add all of these ideas of how people feel to the fact that we know that the fastest growing brands, the ones which have sustainability baked in, are the ones that are growing fastest out of all those. So it's not just about greenwashing. It's very clear that sustainability is big business for brands.
And it's really interesting, and it really sort of lands and resonates with some of the points that some of our guests on the Purpose podcast have made. I mean, in particular, we've drawn out on a number of occasions that if there is a silver lining around the terrible year many of us have had and the wider world is suffering with the pandemic, it is that it's really shone a light on the importance of sustainability. And it's very much high on people's lists of criteria for companies that they want to work for. So how do you do the storytelling part of this? And what's the art that goes with the science?
Yeah, well, okay. So just for full disclosure, you know, I am from a communications background. So storytelling is our thing, if you like. It's really about starting, as Ben said, with the outcomes you want to achieve. And I think really the main outcome that we want to achieve here is about trust and getting people to trust your organisation. And probably many organisations now will have the idea of, they'll have identified some of these areas of impact that Ben and Mary were talking about earlier. They'll have developed some form of organisational purpose, which is what those businesses want to articulate about themselves, what they want to say about themselves. And so you've got purpose, and you've got trust at the end of that process. And for me, I would say reputation is the bridge between these two concepts. So how you get from purpose through to trust, because it's about what you're saying about yourself. And it's also about who you're saying it to and who else is, you know, reflecting back a reputation to your organization. Getting that purpose right, from a sort of really functional, basic point of view, you know, are we telling the truth, as well as making it authentic? Those stories need to be meaningful. And again, you know, that's the kind of thing that Ben and Mary were talking about. It has to be something about impact, something you can truly make a difference on. We've done quite a lot of work on how we can help clients do this. And you might have to have slightly different messaging to make it suitable for different audiences, of course, because you're going to be talking differently from your customers or the general public to, you know, policymakers or regulators or whatever. But then come back to the big question, which is around measurement. You do need to track what each of these groups is saying about you, potentially about peer brands and competitors, across lots of different media types and publicly accessible forums, such as mainstream and social media review sites, etc. And this will help you understand how well you're articulating that purpose and those messages across those groups, and also to give you an idea of the impact of events and announcements. There's a real case here. I know it's a bit unfashionable, but using a lot of human analysis on at least a sample of the data that you're pulling in from social and mainstream media. So, you know, AI and all of those, statistical models, et cetera, are really, really helpful to help you identify the big trends, understand where the white space is. But human analysis means you can really put your finger on, you know, who was being positive or negative about you and why.
And I think a really good example of that is SBT's Decade of Difference report, because that's very clear in what the organisation over its 10 years so far has achieved. But there's lots in there around the human experience and the storytelling of not just, you know, what the end effect was, but people's journey through that and what they did as part of it. And what organisations like SBT and the corporate partners did to help them. And that's really important. So I think it's a really good example of what we've been talking around, of marrying the numbers and the kind of experiences to really tell that detailed impact story.
Thank you to Anna, Ben and Mary from Kantar for today's discussion. We've learned that human analysis and storytelling is key, as is being clear about your impact and demonstrating your value. Identifying impact not only enables your external messaging, but aligns and motivates everyone internally too. There are lessons here for social enterprises, charities, and corporate firms alike.
The Purpose Podcast.